When my husband begins to close the bedroom shutters, it's the last straw. He has to lean out the window to grab the hook. For years, we've been saying we need to figure out another system. The hook is much too far away. We have to stand on tiptoe to reach it. It's dangerous. As I approach my husband and stand right behind him, breathing down his neck, I toy with the idea of pushing him. Would I have the strength to knock him over the window guard? If he grabbed on, would I be able to press down on his fingers until he let go and dropped into the void? I know that I would. There are no lights on in the house across the street, no compromising onlookers, no neighbors out late walking the dog. No risk. The decision is mine. Does my husband deserve to live? I have no difficulty picturing him unconscious on the ground, his skull fractured, blood flooding his brain. I have even less difficulty picturing myself as the inconsolable widow. Black looks good on blondes. The woman who had everything before a freak accident permanently altered the course of her existence. I hesitate, renounce, retreat. Perhaps it's a disproportionate vengeance for being forced to sleep with the shutters closed. Instead, furious red tears spring from my eyes like two erupting volcanoes. Why can't he grant me a single concession? Turning around, my husband finds me in tears at the edge of the bed. Why doesn't he seem surprised? He leans over me and asks what's wrong. I can't reasonably explain to him that sleeping in the dark is driving me insane, that since Monday I've been plotting my revenge against that structural injustice, thinking about his punishment. I can't tell him that I've just imagined murdering him while thinking about what I would wear for his funeral. I have a black dress from last season that would work quite well, but wouldn't it be a great opportunity to buy a new outfit? I also can't tell him that I'm angry at myself for having been so reckless and slept with Pierre during our daughter's birthday party. And I can't confess that I'm still waiting for an explanation for the clementine, that I want to know once and for all why he decided that ridiculous fruit represents me. I can't even bring up the other night again, back him into a corner. Are you sure you didn't tell me that you love me in your sleep on Wednesday? How can you be so certain? Maybe you talk in your sleep without knowing it. What gives you the right to question the validity of my perception, especially since I wasn't the one asleep? And why didn't you hold my hand on the sofa on Tuesday night while we were watching TV? Since I can't reasonably tell him the truth, I invent something else. I murmur family, children, work, relationships, mixing real pain with the first complaints that come to mind. A confused stream that my husband can't make anything of, except that I wish we had more alone time. He answers that we'll be on vacation soon and we'll spend several weeks together. I'm upset with myself for cracking in front of my husband. What was the point of exerting so much effort and playing the strong woman to then burst into tears on his favorite day? What was the point of carefully applying my makeup when my mascara is now running down my cheeks? And on top of it, since I cried, my husband will certainly not make love to me tonight. He never sleeps with me if he's seen me cry in the last 24 hours. Do tears disgust him? Once I've calmed down, I venture to ask him to tell me about our day. I try not to do it too often. Sometimes he refuses, when he's tired or doesn't feel like it. But tonight, he kindly agrees to play along. The idea is simple. He must describe our day for me, from his point of view, from breakfast till bed. He must put words to what we experienced together. I prefer his words to mine because I have more confidence in his interpretation of events. He is often more objective than me. And I've noticed that he has a tendency to erase from his narrative the hassles, the arguments, the yawns, and the sighs, which in my world often take up so much space that they eclipse the rest. He recounts his morning, his good Saturday mood, his orange juice, his jog around the lake, breakfast with the kids, a story on the radio about a pet boar that made the three of them laugh, our conversation in the bathroom, going to the library with the children, where he ran into the parents of our son's classmate. His father is a lawyer, his mother a pilot. We have to invite them over for dinner one night. Preparing for our daughter's party, his joy at seeing her so happy and surrounded by her friends. Going to the grocery store, then to the chocolatier to buy me a bar with raspberry. Driving back to the house, the radio program about the environmental crisis that gave him a lot to think about. Are we doing enough? What kind of world will our children grow up in? The board game the four of us played after dinner, his tenderness at seeing our son be so sweet to his little sister, their bond, the pleasure of a glass of wine once the kids were in bed. He loves that wine that Pierre brings back from Bordeaux every year. Speaking of Pierre, he thought he seemed strange this afternoon, but he's not sure why. Our daughter appearing in the doorway, the boring TV show, his sudden fatigue, bed, the watch I got him for his birthday that he's very careful with, placed on the bedside table. He wonders whether he might have damaged it yesterday. My tears of exhaustion, and finally me, turning to him on the pillow, calm again. He knows that look. I'm about to ask him to recount our day from his point of view. I hang on to every word. Transported, I observe our world from the window opposite. Then my husband asks me to undress. Once again, he makes love to me on a day when I've slept with another man. I'm starting to believe in the power of his masculine instinct. I'm thrilled. I would never have dared hope for such a thing. For one, because I've just been crying, and also because we already made love on Thursday night. Once a week, very reasonable, is our average. I have all of our stats jotted down in a notebook somewhere, and we're about the same as the average in France. Once a week, that's respectable. Not too much, not too little. Nothing to brag about to Nicolas during their nights out, but nothing to be embarrassed about either. At 40, once a week is normal. And that's what I want to be. Normal. Once he's finished, he kisses me and turns back to his side of the bed to fall asleep. I hate when he turns his back to me, but if this is how he sleeps best, can I really reproach him for it? Is a husband required to sleep facing his wife? How do other couples sleep? Immediately, my body starts to itch. I can't sleep despite the taps I do on the inside of my wrist with my thumb and index finger. The questions that normally soothe me are ineffective tonight. Even the lullaby I made up is of no use. Do not despair, do not despair. He's not going anywhere, not going anywhere. Tomorrow his love will still be there, still be there. I think of my body itching, and my husband's body, so close but now out of reach. Dizzying to think that less than 10 minutes ago he was inside me. I can tell by the rhythm of his breathing that he's not asleep. It's slightly too rapid. Maybe he's pretending. But I'm sure. My husband is not asleep. If there's one thing I know, it's his sleep. I must be keeping him awake by not being able to sleep myself. He hears me tossing and turning, scratching, thinking. I don't believe he can really hear me think, but I know that a contemplative brain consumes energy. Can my husband feel the heat of it? We've been lying in bed for over an hour now. I don't dare move anymore. My disparaging presence in the bed exhausts him. It's true that I have many complaints about his sleep. Does he really need complete darkness? Why does he turn his back to me? Couldn't we fall asleep spooning? Why is it always so easy for him to fall asleep after a difficult day when it takes me hours? Suddenly, he turns around and leans over me. I startle and then freeze. His face is right next to mine. He moves his hand toward me. Time slows, almost stops. My husband will grab my neck and squeeze it tight. He'll clamp down until I can't breathe. He's sick of listening to me think and feeling my eyes on him. He knows that I record our conversations and listen to them on my phone. He knows about Pierre. He feels spied on. He'll strangle me, mirroring his own suffocation. He wants to make me disappear. I will die between his fingers because he can't take it anymore. My husband hovers over me, advancing. His hand is on my neck. I won't fight back. I won't scream or resist. My husband leans over my face and kisses me on the cheek. Can't sleep, sweetheart.